You make me want to listen to a podcast where Weird Al nerds talk days gone past. Oingo Boingo wins the gong show and takes us to hell on the Forbidden Zone. Strongman meets his movie franchise. Elfman boys make the Mystic Knights. Weird commercial gigs. Tim Burton clicks. If you call Snail Wave, you're gonna get hit. It's time for our show to start now. We cover You Make Me on Weird Pals.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Weird Pals. My name is Tim.
My name is Andy.
And sure, you can find him out there in the Bay Area doing improv and clown work. And sure, I went to his birthday party once.
Tim, do you write these ahead of time?
Does it look like I write these ahead
no,
of time?
No, it doesn't.
And most importantly, he's here to talk about Weird Al. Everyone welcome, Jonathan McDonald.
Hello. Yay. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for coming on. You've been one of the people that I've been bugging for years to get on this show.
We've definitely talked about it a long time. Just like, oh, you have a podcast. It'd be good, fun to be on. End of conversation. Next topic.
That's all any conversation about podcasts is.
Jonathan's killer at the small talk.
Giving me the stop is the trick sometimes.
During this birthday party, you and Dylan had gone into a side room and you talked at end about, what was it? It was like the figurine stuff that you've collected.
It's probably the room I'm currently in. This camera, I can't really move around, and it's a podcast anyway, but I am flanked by trophies of consumerism. Like I have, like on my desk right now is I have an action figure for Strongman.
Yes!
Everyone's favorite X-Force hero.
Now, so tell me why Strongman.
Because I think it's just, first is the appearance. I like his stupid tiny round glasses a lot. I unironically love them.
Yeah.
I like his, shoulder armor. I think the shoulder armor is kind of cool. And his weird, like, puffy torso. And then also his name is just like, it's like a crime. It's like a creative crime. It's just like the dumbest name ever, and I love it. And it's the kind of name a person would come up with in the real world if they were naming their own superheroes. Like, I don't know, I'm a strong guy.
Well, it's like Colossus was taken, Juggernaut was taken. It's like, well,
scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I'm looking at Thesaurus, and everything's been used, so strong guy.
Because it's barely even descriptive. Like, his power is kind of like the harder you hit him, the stronger he gets temporarily. Mm-hmm. And his name doesn't really address that part at all.
Isn't his hair like just a wispy little gray thing?
He has like just the Clark Kent curl.
Yeah,
he's bald except for like this dumb little white like bird poop on his forehead.
Good.
And he's so happy. He's always smiling. He looks like he could be a relation to Cyclops because the goggles are red. Anyway, I just like him. He's dumb.
So yeah. So if you ever want a good hang, just wander into Jonathan's room, point at something, and then you'll.
I will talk about it. That'd be a fun podcast. Just explore my room. Every episode's an hour of like one little thing.
I'm sure you'll fit right into the nerd
big
culture
target audience for that.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
His real name, by the way, is Guido Carosella.
I could not have said that. That's funny. I forgot all of that.
Love a good Guido.
Love a good Guido. Yeah.
You know who my favorite Guido is? Danny Elfman. Gentlemen, are you familiar with Oingo Boingo?
Yes.
Yes. So my first job ever in life was working at a comic shop. And so I was, you know, like under 20 at the time. And like the veteran.
Staring at figurines of Strongman, waiting to get enough money.
Wait, one day I'll save up enough minimum wage to acquire this beauty. But one of my coworkers, the senior 30-year-old man, I'm older than him now, he was kind of like, not like an older brother to me, but he had that kind of role of like, hey, here's the cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he'd show me stuff like, so I saw like the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo on the Gong Show and like all this stuff. So, I'm almost a bigger fan of the Mystic Knights than I am of Oingo Boingo specifically. Like I like their performance pieces more than their music, I think. But yes, excellent. I'm familiar.
The Mystic Knights was a new chapter for me. So let me unfurl the story of Oingo Boingo before.
Well, you know, we should talk about why we're all here, what episode we're doing.
Oh.
It's the title of the episode.
But wait, okay. Here's something. When people buy books, Do they read the summary ahead of time? Possibly. But
they
you
read
need
the
to make
title
sure.
of the book is
yes,
my argument.
Okay.
At a but, minimum.
But you
now,
need
for
to
those
make sure
people
that
who
in...
buy books and don't read the title, come on this podcast and explain yourself. Because you're the kind of people we're looking for.
You need to make sure that the reader or the viewer of the movie or whatever knows what the thing is about within the first 20 pages, 20 minutes, without benefit of the summary.
Now, this is why I make a custom theme song to every single episode, and then I fill the lyrics of that into the bio of each episode. And if you listened to any of the episodes,
I don't listen well to the show.
I skipped the first minute.
This is canon. I don't listen to the show.
I don't listen to the show, but I do have notes.
Yes.
I have strong opinions.
Jonathan, do you have, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your Weird Al fandom at?
Ooh.
And are any of your figurines Weird Al related at all?
You know, they make a good one Weird Al. I don't currently own it. I would like to. I do have a t-shirt for Spatula City, which is one of the commercials from UHF. Mm-hmm. But nothing, I don't think any decorations in this room are specifically Weird Al. But I would say my fandom, I mean, it used to be like much more than it is. Like certainly like in middle school when I was kind of first discovering Weird Al and like UHF, you know, I'd watch it like 12 times a year, probably not literally, but it used to be very, very high. It's too high. It's not. I probably haven't seen it 12 times in my life, but you know, I watch it a lot. I don't know. I'd say like eight.
Love it. Wow.
Or so.
That's
pretty
exciting.
High.
Because sometimes we invite people on here just because they're our funny friends.
Sure.
But you're the Venn diagram of our funny friends, and this is a world that you are.
Certainly,
not.
Whenever he's doing a live show within driving distance of me, I will see him. So I've seen him 3 times live in my life. I'll do it again.
I'll do it again! He swears it.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, may I transition into my segment of the show?
Please. Yes.
Hey guys, speaking of Guidos, let's talk about Danny Elfman.
First association everyone makes with Danny Elfman. First thought in their head.
Also, that seems to imply that the speaking of Guidos thing was always part of the plan. Even though we had no idea we'd be talking about Strongman.
That's right.
Good improv is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so like Jonathan was saying, Oingo Boingo did not start as Oingo Boingo. They started as the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo, which was a troupe of artists similar to what we talked about with Devo started like this, kind of, where Devo was like a visual arts, like there's like a multimedia effect of it, but music was kind of one of their main goals. But the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo is almost like a cabaret circus troupe.
Yeah.
And they have instruments and they play songs, but it's mostly like
noise.
All kinds of things put together like in a variety show.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman's older brother was like the lead ringleader, if you will, on this troupe. And Danny literally dropped out of college to join the circus, which was like dropping out of college. He moved to Africa for a while to learn like percussion. And like from that, he would like develop this knack for having odd rhythms and odd instrumentation. And like so all of the instruments that they would play for Mystic Knights were like more strange than like traditional rock and roll instruments.
I was reading that some of the instruments were just built by the band members. So they weren't even like instruments. I mean, they were instruments, but they weren't like a thing that you would know.
Yeah, right. They would look kind of like a clarinet or kind of like
sure.
a or whatever.
Like a Dr. Seuss instrument.
Yeah, exactly. So they had a lot of Dr. Seuss energy. This was in
DSE.
That's right. This was in the 1970s. Somebody claimed, I think on a YouTube comment, that what the Grateful Dead was to San Francisco, Oingo Boingo was to L.A.
That's amazing.
Which I don't think is true because the legacy is certainly way different. But
yeah.
It's like they claimed them as like their weird subculture mascots in some way. And what you mentioned also is that they performed on the Gong Show. And it's a good representation of kind of what they are up to. Lots of costumes, lots of chaos. And there's a rumor that Danny Elfman was annoyed that they didn't get gonged. Like, his goal was to get kicked off the show.
That does not surprise me.
And they let them play their full set, and then they, like, according to the scoring system of the Gong Show, they won. Like, they got the highest score from the judges. So they were sort of like, he was, like, kind of annoyed at the whole endeavor.
It did seem, listening to the judges, that they mostly won because they had a hot lady. They had one hot lady that everyone liked.
Let's watch a little bit of this clip here.
To open our show,
hey, it's Sam Rockwell.
It's Sam Rockwell.
I can see it.
Was it Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
Well, yeah.
That movie's wild.
I love the movie.
Your mind. The Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo.
This intro is great. He likes to get some Groucho Marx vibes.
We will now play the rarely performed Haydn trio for piano, accordion, and triangle.
Doing a kind of German accent?
Yeah. Like, Weird Al has that kind of energy to his stuff, too.
Absolutely.
All right, we got a weird, puffy dragon thing. Is that Danny Elfman in the rocket ship?
I believe it is.
Because I recognize that weird orange hair.
Hair, yeah.
He's, like, sort of riding a rocket ship-ish.
I love this so much.
I do. I like the music. I like how you never hear the piano, really. It's just immediately, like, 3, 2, 1, go.
You don't explosion. Even see the piano. Everyone's standing in front of them.
Yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. 11 people, because there's the drummer back there, too.
It seems like, it's almost like a Python sketch, or like, it's like a Godzilla fight. I don't know. But it's visually, there's a lot going on, so you're just kind of compelled to watch it for a while. I think that's why they didn't get gonged.
You just had to see, like, where is this going?
Because it changes just enough second to second, right? Like, oh, what's happening now? This, I think, also made me realize how much I've recently started to like bands that have, like, big band, or, like, brass energy in them, which I didn't used to like that much.
Like ska music or something?
Like Fleetwood Mac has a song called Tusk, which I like a lot. Mm. Or there's like this current New York group called Too Many Zoos that I like a lot.
Oh, they just came to town.
What?
Yeah.
I missed it.
We'll be back to meet our celebrities and see how they rate this.
Yeah, nailed it.
See how they rate this. It's like, you can't describe it. You cannot describe it.
Yeah, was it musical? Was it pantomime?
Yeah, something. He's like, you know,
and
this
the band, their face makeup looks like the OEO guys from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo did release music, slightly more traditionally. This song, their first single is "You Got Your Baby Back," is what this is called.
What?
Ribs?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And it sounds very different from the music that you just heard.
Yeah, that's different. Is that the name of the album? Don't Blame Patty. She's just a poor, misunderstood teenager.
Now, at the description here, it says, this is the unusual novelty of being the first ever Danny Elfman composition to be commercially released. It's a satire of the kidnapping of Patty Hearst upon news of her sentencing that her year for bankruptcy.
It's tricky. Like, the reason I'm not a bigger Oingo Boingo fan is, like, I feel like musically it's very interesting, but none of it's catchy. And then lyrically, it's like kind of funny, but it's not like not that funny.
It's just odd.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a band where they are big fans of themselves, you know.
Mm.
And then because I don't think they really measure much of their success by popularity, given the choices that they would be making in their careers here. Specifically, this doesn't really get much play at all. It's a pretty small release. In 1979, the band transitions from a cabaret style to like a new wave or art rock style, but don't call it a new wave band, because Danny Elfman once got in a fight with a guy who said that Oingo Boingo turned into a new wave band, and he showed up to an interview with a black eye. And he claimed that he got into a fight with someone. Whether that's true or not, not sure, but it's a fun anecdote.
Danny Elfman definitely seems like a guy who hates being labeled.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think that's true. Or being understood.
Sure. Yeah. No one gets me.
Simultaneously,
the twisted mind.
So Richard Elfman is his older brother who steps away from the band and becomes like a film director guy. Mm-hmm. And their first big move is to make a feature-length movie called Forbidden Zone, which is originally shot in black and white with the intention of them sending it to China for them to color it by hand. Didn't happen. It was released in black and white, but it wasn't released other than like straight to video, I think. And then in like 2008, Danny Elfman went back to the project and had it colorized. So now you can watch the whole thing, I think, on YouTube.
I'm definitely watching this.
Fever dream.
It's on YouTube.
From what I understand.
Over an hour long.
Okay, we have a problem. This is very interesting. For those who don't know, those listening, we're recording this in the afternoon instead of the evening, and I have a thing on my computer that says I can't watch YouTube from 10:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. So I've been using the incognito mode for this recording, but I'm not signed in on the incognito mode. So, and this is apparently a age restricted video.
There are bare breasts.
Hysterical.
Outrageous.
That's very funny.
Well, what we can do instead is Jonathan can attempt to describe the visuals to you, will also help our listeners.
Or I can just sign in.
Sure, I mean, if you wanted to.
You want to break your self-imposed rule.
I think that's fine.
Well, with all this new revenue coming in from these ads that we're running this season, this is actually Andy's job, and he's required to watch all the content.
Oh, I got to do freaking two-step verification. God darn it. Try not to swear.
This is from Richard Elfman's official YouTube account, and he calls it the Citizen Kane of underground movies.
I don't know how to interpret that. Did it like break the mold? Did it inspire a lot of follow-up movies?
This is the second Hearst.
That's true.
Reference in two videos.
All right.
Also,
I'm in.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, see me. Yeah.
Oh, you made it. Good.
I'm in.
In there like swimwear. That was a kid joke from a kid video game I used to play called Spy Fox.
Never heard that.
I mean, don't repeat it. It's not great. I don't know why I said it.
All right, so there's a lot of
underwear, frog guy.
I love a frog guy.
Lasers.
It's a bone laser. Turn him into a fish. Okay.
Yep, there are some bare breasts.
I can't tell if this is like a hell or a heaven for somebody.
Yeah, hey, it's a spigot. Tattoo from Fantasy Island.
That's right.
Oh, you're right.
We've got some stop motion.
That's some like Gilliam-esque like 2D animation sort of. Mm-hmm.
Weird.
It's a clown.
Intestinal animation.
Oh, I like the modern times kind of thing. I have heard the theme song to this movie. I actually didn't realize it's a movie. I was listening to Oingo Boingo albums, and they do make it clear they're not clowns, but spacemen.
Oh, good.
So, if you don't like clowns, don't worry. They're spacemen.
Yeah, living in the sixth dimension. It's like, I think it's called Forbidden Zone, the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just called Forbidden Zone. I wonder if that's a reference to the sixth dimension. I wonder if it's a reference to what's his name? Not Donnie Brasco. It's Buckaroo Banzai and the fifth dimension. Oh, Buckaroo.
I don't remember.
It's called The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. Eighth. Yeah, it's a good. I mean, it's bad, but it's a crazy good film. Christopher Lloyd plays a character named John Big Boutte. Mm-hmm. So what more could you possibly want?
Although now I kind of want to see The Adventures of Donnie Brasco Across the Eighth Dimension. Let's just get some mafia references into that movie.
There you go.
I do think I was talking about this, like there's genre crossovers. You get a lot of like sci-fi and like zombies or whatever. There's not enough like other genre crossovers. Like I want to see like mobsters in space. any other genre. Yeah, space, whatever. It's more of that. Or, you know, like a Western crossed with like a rom-com. I don't know.
Isn't that Brokeback Mountain? I guess it's not funny.
Is it a comedy?
It's not that funny. Yeah, it's sad.
Most rom-coms are sad when you think about them too much, I think.
Yeah. It's like, they don't last.
Hmm. This, in the notes for this film, it says that Richard Elfman states that he started the film with no particular audience in mind, merely as an exercise in unrestrained creativity, and, quote, to capture on film what I was no longer doing on stage with the Mystic Knights, because they had transitioned into just Oingo Boingo, the band.
Like, I would not be surprised if this film doesn't have a plot. It's like a variety show. It's like a montage of performance pieces in order.
It would not be the first time that the film got covered this season where the film adaptation made absolutely no sense. Because I watched Moonwalker for Michael Jackson, and that was of similar ilk.
But as we discussed, if you don't give some idea of what this movie is about in the first 20 minutes... because not everyone will have read the summary, then you have failed as an artist.
Now, to confuse, right? That's the goal of the artist.
It's unrestrained creativity or whatever he said. Radical creative output.
Soon thereafter, the band version of this project, Oingo Boingo, which was now fronted by Danny Elfman and... some of the members had dropped out because they didn't want to do like a full band version of this project, and then they had a couple people replace them as some members, but they were still like 7 or 8 people because they had like a horn section and they added a keyboardist and they added a full-time drummer. They came out with a 10-inch demo EP with a song called Ain't This the Life, and then by 1981 they released their first full-length album. It's called Only a Lad.
Yeah.
Only a Lad was... had they do like DIY music videos, and so there is some airplay, but this album is not particularly popular. They get instantly grouped in with like Devo because they have like a frenetic pace, and like his vocals are kind of fun and yelpy. That fit in with some of the new wave trends.
Not easily defined, so let's just make it new wave.
Yeah. I do think their music videos are kind of disappointing, given like the Mystic Knight stuff you see beforehand. Most of the music videos are kind of just, like Danny Elfman, like lounging about, like singing direct into the camera. There's not as much like interesting random visuals as I would expect.
Like they make him try to make him an 80s heartthrob or something.
Yeah, it's like a you know, Dire Straits or something music video. Like, I know,
well,
just,
by 1984, Danny Elfman releases like a solo album, and he's like trying to do like more poppy ballady stuff by then. And even though these are they're not as demented as like the movie, obviously, but they're still directed by his older brother, and so they're like collaboratively working together on something that's. Commercial as adjacent, I suppose, but not overtly, because Only a Lad's first song is called Little Girls or something like that, and it's literally about a pedophile.
Oh god.
And like that is the lead music video, and the lead music video depicts this like pedophilic relationship, and like it's so off-putting and it's in this like tone where they're like, ha ha ha, this is so ridiculous of a narrative. And it's like completely absurd. Mm-hmm.
But it's not that absurd.
But I think that just reveals how little lived experience and life they maybe have been exposed to, perhaps.
Yeesh.
Because that certainly is a rather unfortunate way to kick off your commercial career is to have.
Yeah.
Is your lead. So
it's wild they'd put that as number one.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows what the record label was trying to do with them or for them, so who knows what kind of conversations they had. But that was how they decided to kick off their musical career on the larger commercial front. But it's 1982's album, Nothing to Fear, where they... I don't know if it's like the... For whatever reason, this is the album that is referenced as like close proximities to the Weird Al version that comes out in 1988. All the songs that are listed as possible inspirations on the fandom website come from this same album from 1982. There's a song that I really like called Wild Sex, parentheses, In the Working Class. There's a song called Gray Matter. There's a song called Private Life. And there's a song called Running on a Treadmill.
I think Running on the Treadmill is the one, is maybe my favorite musically, but I like Gray Matter a lot lyrically.
Which one would you like to listen to?
Oh. Let's do Running on a Treadmill.
Let's do Running on a Treadmill. Okay.
I love this album cover.
Yeah.
With a weird cat thing.
It looks like something from Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah.
I like this sound a lot. It's weird.
It's a cat who apparently under the Christmas tree is like a lizard.
Yeah.
It's a very bright lizard.
Now the question is the cat afraid of the lizard or is the lizard afraid of the cat?
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's just like excited he got a lizard for Christmas.
That's my read.
It could be that, yeah.
Also, I think the main instrument for this song is those like notes that you squeeze. What are those called? It looks like a musical note. And you can squeeze the bowl. And it's like, oh, it opens like a little mouth. Like, oh.
Did they have those in the 80s?
I don't think so.
I totally forgot what those are called.
Thing.
They're like weird theremins, aren't they? Because your like hand controls like the top bit.
Googled it. Automatone.
That's it, yeah.
So this has got the horn section, it's got the synthesizer stuff. This is actually slightly more laid back of a song from this album.
Yeah, it's definitely very simple, like on all metrics, but I think just the different noises that are being used are what make me like it a lot.
Yeah, all the auxiliary stuff is very fun. For some reason in 1984 the band writes a Budweiser jingle.
Of course.
And they shoot themselves in a Budweiser commercial. Let's watch it.
That's what I should do. I should start making fake commercials. Just pre-sell out. That's how I'll get big. Companies will be like, we need this guy to write our actual commercials. But how do I communicate? They're going to stop doing it for free. Food for thought.
Did this air during the Super Bowl? It's a minute long.
A tight minute.
I don't know. Andy would love the description because the description of this video is just a description of what happens for the entire video.
Oh my god, it's
just a play. It's the script.
Look at that long paragraph. Wow.
Dense. Who needs new spaces?
What's the name of this channel? Consumer Time Capsule. Love it.
That's a great name.
That's a great idea for a YouTube channel.
What's it, window washers? We're washing the windows of the most 80s gym.
Yeah,
can imagine.
Yeah, it's a smoky gym.
It's weird to see Danny Elfman with short hair.
Mm.
Like very short.
I can't remember what his out like the classic Danny Elfman like tank top and suspenders. What's it remind me of? I think it's because I just watched Goonies, and I feel like just like one of the bad guys in Goonies dresses that way.
Maybe
it's a
Budweiser race car.
Oh, it's the wheels just go through the ground.
Oh no, a spaceship with a giant Bud bottle.
It's like a bomber.
It's yeah.
Like a World War II bomber.
Oh,
plane.
He hit the window washers.
And the Budweiser is like going to be released like an A-bomb, maybe?
This Bud's
no,
for you. All right.
Well, now I want a beer.
1985 is when the band gets its most commercially successful single called Weird Science. From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention? They end up in this common 80s musician loop where you write songs specifically for movie soundtracks, mm-hmm. and it's happened sort of over and over in their career up to this point.
I think they should bring that back.
Yeah,
I think more movies should need custom music.
Yeah, it's like original music by, but instead of original music by one artist, which is kind of the trend now, it's original music by like 10 popular artists, which I guess only really happens for like Spider-Man movies now. Or like the Wakanda Forever mixtape thing. Like those, that's like as close as we get to.
Yeah.
But this one is the title track song. It peaks at number 45 on the pop charts, which helps the album Dead Man's Party become their most popular album. This album is released a couple of days before Halloween, and they also have some like Halloween-y thematic songs on there, which kind of starts Danny Elfman's like the public at large's association with Danny Elfman is like Halloween-y, I think. Mm-hmm. In general, because of his associated with Tim Burton and all that company. So it's interesting that it happens apart from them before he gets involved. Although the same year in 1985, Danny Elfman starts composing music for Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
And that's where his movie and TV show composition career goes.
When did he first work with Tim Burton? I don't know the timeline well, because in my head, which I have no data to back up, I feel like Tim Burton's first film was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. But was he doing stuff before then with Danny Elfman?
I don't know if he was on the TV show also.
Got it.
I do not know that. I am DB Wood, but I do not.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to share with you, because it's the last notable thing before Weird Al gets his hands on Oingo Boingo as a source of inspiration for Even Worse, which eventually gets released in 1988. In 1986, continuing the band's theme of writing for movies, they appear as themselves in this mid-80s classic, Back to School, featuring Rodney Dangerfield.
Wow.
Has anyone tried watching Back to School?
Nope.
I feel like I did at some point, but I don't know if I finished it. I definitely don't remember Danny Elfman in it.
This is the song Dead Man's Party, which comes from their most recent record at this time. This concept is basically, what if Rodney Dangerfield, as himself, had to go back to college for some reason? I don't remember what the some reason is, but he's just in college hanging out with college-aged people. And someone thought that was enough of a reason to make a whole film.
It's like only slightly less creepier than Weekend at Bernie's. Because he's alive, at least.
I was going to make the comparison to Billy Madison, minus the college, but I like the Weekend Bernie's comparison.
Well, same era.
You know what? Yes. At least it's not a song about a pedophile. Good job, Oingo Boingo.
Yes.
We're moving on up in the world.
I do like this song a lot. I could dance that good.
Oh, look, they even have a sign that says Oingo Boingo at this venue, so you know it's them.
Do you think that was those were actual neon lights, or was it just very colorful tape? Nope, they're lights.
They look like lights. Who's that, everyone? Guy?
Robert Downey Jr.!
Wait, isn't he also in Weird Science?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a crazy connection.
Associated artist thing or the I'm going blind thing? Huh? Oh, it's the deaf thing! Ah! Maybe this will cheer you up.
No, this is a Weekend at Bernie's bit, because that guy's dead.
You look like the poster boy for birth control.
Zing!
And he runs,
runs away.
What's your story? What's the matter? Swim me? Forget about it. It's history.
I didn't know. I knew he was in Weird Science. I did not know he was in Back to School.
Yeah. And you recognized him when his cheeks were still puffed out.
Oh, okay.
He's cool. Wow. Is that our protagonist? He seems like a villain.
I think he's having a down moment.
That's an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Our protagonists are also creeps.
Yeah. Oh, I love that car.
What? That looks like the ambiguously gay duo's car.
Yeah, it looks like Malcolm Cromwell.
What's going on here?
Melon Man, story of the greatest Melon party Man. Of That's all a good time. Name. The whole world is there. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life.
Oh,
That's the kind of role I want in a movie.
One line, just you're not sure what you're on, but you're on
big
something.
Character, yeah. Oh, that lady looks like, Cher.
She's got some Cher vibes, yeah. Uh-oh, the cops are here. Maybe they're fun.
The fuzz.
Good. Apparently I'm not the only one around here with a sense of decency.
This guy a student or a teacher? Hey. This is giving me, real genius vibes, too.
Did you see... Where are you going?
Everyone wants the
party. Intellectual curiosity, Philip. Sounds fun in there. Come with me.
Oh, please.
Oh, Philip.
We need more old people at this college party.
I mean, everybody in this room does look pretty old for college. You can't be too old for college, I want to make that clear. But the average age of a college person, I'd expect.
Yes. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield. He's
absolutely.
He's not... How old was he when he made this movie? Like, in his probably 50s?
Is this the guy working the soundboard?
That's Danny Jr.
That's great.
Oh.
They don't give the soundboard guy enough credit in any film or music video, so I'm glad he's...
It's like that Far Side comic. It's like, well, it was Bill's last day with the band. He's pushing the button that says suck on the soundboard. It's a jacuzzi and...
Hey, what's a band without Bubbles? Hey, Bubbles,
yeah,
come
what kind
on
of venue
here,
is this, everybody? Is this is the same spot, presumably?
Well,
things like that.
Yeah, I don't think they've gone to a second location. It's just a different room, I guess.
Rodney Dangerfield is just now in a jacuzzi with four women. But the music is still being heard, so clearly adjacent to the live venue, which has couches. What is this place? Is this a fraternity house?
His name is Thornton Mellon.
Rodney Dangerfield?
His character's name is Thornton Mellon.
Excuse me, has anyone seen Thornton Mellon?
That's what I call marine biology.
Diane.
Uh-oh.
Just say hello to my nieces.
I don't know what the relationship is. Yeah, that made it worse.
It looks like ex or love interest or something.
But I thought she was with Philip.
Maybe that was her brother.
Oh, yeah, could be.
I don't know. Well, guess we have to watch the movie.
I'm going to watch Forbidden Zone before I watch Back to School.
There you go. All right, everyone, that's my time. That's a little brief history of Oingo Boingo from the 70s to the 80s.
Have you had your knees blasted off by the mob?
You're a victim. Did you ever have an ice cream, but it was missing the ice?
It was mostly cream.
You're a victim.
Did you ever want to give a good blowjob, but you had your knees blasted off by the mob?
Have you seen the movie Cats? Did you get a gang of other like-minded individuals together and plan a big elaborate heist to steal the Declaration of Independence only to find out you were beaten to the punch by that nefarious Nicolas Cage? You're a victim. Have you ever giddily skipped the stairs only to trip on the top step and eat shit?
Have you ever tied your hair into a sweet top knot, but by the end of the day it was no longer on top?
You're a victim. Have you ever used a hand blow dryer and your hands didn't actually get dry, so you had to wipe it on your pants, and then...
Did you ever have an oatmeal raisin cookie, but it was missing the raisins?
On your pants and think that you wet your pants in a very weird and specific pattern?
Have you ever wondered, what is too much elbow grease?
If any of this applies to you, call now Johnson & Johnson at Law. We specialize in all of these crimes. We are the preeminent experts uniquely qualified to represent you and get you the money you deserve. You're a victim. We're the muscle.
You're the brains.
He's the yin to my yang. I'm the pudding to his pie. The hole to my donut.
Just remember, you are the victim.
The song You Make Me by Weird Al Yankovic, track number 4 on Even Worse, coming in at a whopping 3 minutes and 5 seconds. This was recorded during the second recording session for Even Worse, which began on December 1st, 1987, alongside the other originals, Good Old Days and Velvet Elvis. It's one of those classic trope Weird Al songs where he just basically lists things that are odd, yeah, outlandish, and mildly disturbing.
What do you mean?
Nothing. I'm just, that's a completely objective standpoint.
I'm trying to remember if any of the lines are disturbing. They're all outlandish.
Well, I listed them out. I listed them out so we can judge for ourselves.
Great. I'm sure you're right.
So the conceit of the song is that he is quoted as Alice quoted as saying, like, this is about as close as I ever come to writing a real love song. As far as I can remember, like, yeah, that might be true. Like,
because this person is actually in love, except for, yeah, like, if that isn't love, which I guess, yeah, is like not true, because that's like, he's like selfish. He's like knowingly bad and selfish in that one.
I mean, yeah, it's like with the other quote unquote love songs that he's done, it's usually from his point of view as a creep or as a weirdo, and we don't know how the person he's singing to, whether or not they reciprocate or not, but likely not, because this guy's a weirdo.
I Want to Be Your Hog is like a love song.
Yeah.
Like a lust song.
Yeah. But like with this one, he's saying, like, you make me, so, you know, like, he's definitely infatuated, and I think the implication is, like, the person that he's singing to can also be infatuated. But in any case, the things that this anonymous love interest makes him do are, in order, slam my head against a wall,
cool,
do the limbo, buy a Slurpee at the mall, watch The Gong Show, which is probably a reference to Oingo Boingo, or the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo's first appearance. Hide a weasel in my shorts.
Yeah, that was disturbing. I'll concede that.
Phone home, because you got to get some E.T. reference in there for something. The 80s. But this was like 6 years after E.T. was released. Write a dozen book reports.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Which on the Weird Al forums, someone had like a like a flat, like whenever he listened to the song, when that line came, they would always have a flashback to like when I had to do book reports in grade school. I had to do 12 one year. They were all Goosebumps books. So we are now best friends. Pack myself in styrofoam. Good. Build a model of the Eiffel Tower out of Belgian waffles.
Best one.
That is the best one.
I like that. There's some sort of European political commentary in there, don't you think?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's not crepes, it's Belgian waffles.
It's French iconic landmark, and then
although Belgian waffles might be more structurally useful to make large.
It's good choice of material.
Yeah. As opposed to crepes, you mean, Tim?
Yeah.
Crepes are probably not the best.
You do a Tower of Pisa out of crepes. You couldn't do an Eiffel Tower out of crepes.
After the Belgian waffles, hang out in a trailer park. Take my hamster to the beach.
That one's so sweet.
That was very sweet, and reference to Harvey, probably. Do my laundry in the dark, and connected to that, use a recommended bleach. Can't decide between doing neurosurgery or watching the Care Bears movie.
Has anyone seen the Care Bears movie here?
Yeah,
is there only one? I haven't seen any of them.
Long. I don't know why I asked. Probably when I was very, very small, probably.
I don't have any.
Could not tell you anything that happens in it, except that they do the Care Bear stare.
So would you, so Andy, now that you are saying that you haven't done either, would you rather study neurosurgery or see the Care Bears movie?
See the Care Bears movie.
Yeah, I think I would
it's less work. That's 80 minutes of my time, and
it also doesn't
years.
Say that you have to finish studying neurosurgery. Sure. You could just like for the it could be for the same it. Amount of time. Would you like to spend an hour and a half doing one or the other?
I can read a chapter or two. Sure.
I mean, if they're showing the Care Bears movie at the Alamo Draft House, I'll go get a custom milkshake or whatever.
But here's the thing: what if they were teaching neurosurgery at the Alamo Draft House?
Oh.
What if that's the Care Bears were teaching neurosurgery?
Oh, you don't
that's
have
much
to
have a test. I'm not curious about neurosurgery. I just don't want a quiz.
Yeah.
I just don't want a quiz.
Don't. Yeah, that's it. I don't want to be proven that all the studying I did was for naught. Break the laws of time and space. This might be my second favorite to the Eiffel Tower out of Belgian waffles. Eat pork. That's it. Just eat pork.
You gotta bring it back down to, you know, the simple reality bits. It's all about the juxtaposition.
It's a good spread. It's a good, like, you know, playing the game of the joke of, like building absurdity and then dialing it back, just, like, kind of hopping around so you can't, like, detect, like, a pattern of absurdity.
Yeah. And then to bring it on home, it wouldn't be a Weird Al song without some reference to self-injury. Staple bagels to my face and remove them with a pitchfork. Which sounds terrible. But then you get
that
bagels.
Reminds me, the line I picked for my high school senior yearbook quote was from, which song is it from? I want to grab life by the lips and yank as hard as I can. What is that from? I know it's a Weird Al quote. I don't remember. Is it UHF? It's when he's like trying to get the girl back. I don't remember what it's from, but the point is, that's what it is. Weird face pain, Weird Al trope.
This has a lot of, like, One More Minute vibes, this particular line.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And it is funny how much we've mentioned, like, the Devo Oingo Boingo overlap, because this song does also remind me of Dare to be Stupid.
The lists of, like, absurd...
Aesthetic-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, list of
listing. It's a list of weird stuff.
Yeah. And it's also, like, just, you know, it's a good bop. It's good, like, yeah. I'm gonna bounce to this song.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, it was never played live in support of the album. The first time it was ever played live was in 2010.
Wow.
And it wasn't part of a medley or anything like that. Like, he actually played the full song live. Here is a live performance of it from 2013 in Columbia, Missouri. And it was one of the first songs that they play in their set list because he's just dressed in his Hawaiian shirt, like no costumes or elaborate set pieces. It's just the song, and it's cool.
A one button press for the.
Yeah. He does do a little more on the keyboard, but.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Ruben is not in the shot, but I presume he's there.
There's exactly one comment on this video, and it's by Allison J 3152 that says, "That was crazy." And that comment has one like.
Wow. That's where the bar is.
We can't see who the like is from, so we don't
know. What's the face on the drummer's drum kit? It looks like an orc from Lord of the Rings.
It's from the Alpocalypse cover art.
Yeah.
It's one of the four horsemen.
Yeah, this would have been for the Alpocalypse tour, I think, to 2013.
One of the recommended videos is a fan animation.
I did not watch that, just because it didn't look good.
It doesn't look well animated.
No.
I remember in high school I did make a fan animation for Dare to be Stupid.
Oh, really?
I didn't like draw anything, but a lot of just Photoshop, like cut paste, like composites to match the lyric. I wonder how much of Weird Al's movements are, like, choreographed. Like, if I watch the same song
when he does this,
performance.
I loose arm shake?
No. His weird arm flail.
Oh, yeah. He and Nathan, what's his name? Nathan. He's not a famous Nathan. Nathan, anyway, he does the same arm shake.
Nathan the arm shaker.
No, it's not Nathan Lane. It's not an actor. It's he's like a YouTube
just a friend
guy.
Of yours.
He got famous. No, I don't know him. He got famous doing like football touchdown dance parody type stuff. Oh god dang it! I'm gonna look it up.
You can see in like there's like a building next to the stage with windows. you can see like the reflection of, apparently there are flashing bulbs that spell out, you make me every time they say it.
That's cool.
Maybe it's Monitor, but
that's Nathan Barnett.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's just a really good performance.
It is a good. I mean, that's why I see Weird Al live whenever I can, because like he's performing, like he's, you know, it's, he's definitely adding to the experience with what he's doing.
Yeah. So yeah, that the first time was played in 2010. That was a 2013 performance. I also discovered this was just interesting to me. Maybe it's not interesting to anybody else, but it was part of a set list. This is all from setlist.fm, which has been a very useful website. As part of the ATP, which stands for All Tomorrow's Parties, Nightmare Before Christmas Festival. It has nothing to do with Danny Elfman. It is just called Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Just a weird coincidence. And this apparently was a festival that there were several of these. I think All Tomorrow's Parties was almost like a, like not quite like a another planet or, you know, a festival curator thing. Like they put together shows and stuff, but something like that. And definitely not as corporate, I imagine, that dissolved a handful of years ago. Actually, I don't think not too long after this, this one, this Nightmare Before Christmas show. But this particular one was curated. I think they like to have bands, other bands, curate who was going to perform. This one was performed by Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Oh.
And it is one of the most alternative lineups I've ever seen. I've only... These are some of the bands that were also performing on the bill with Weird Al. I've only heard of one of them, but these are the interesting names. There's Gybe, which is just G-Y-B-E. The Berg Sands Nipple. Scout Niblet. Deer Hoof, which is the only one I've heard of.
Nice, good band.
Yeah. Land of Kush. Mahjong. And Wolves in the Throne Room.
Oh, another good band.
Yeah. So yeah, just a coincidence that it's called
And Weird Al. Christmas.
And Weird Al. Yeah, I think.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, it's an odd group to be amongst.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because a lot of them, I think, are like, they're not comedy bands, they're not novelty or anything. Right. Like they're just very alternative or underground almost.
Right.
And the last bit of information I thought was very interesting was, while on setlist.fm, you know, I just did control F to find You Make Me to see if it was ever played live. And before I found that, I saw that during the Self-Indulgent tours, he apparently covered Carole King's You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman a few times.
Nice.
Which I could not find footage of, but that sounds like it would be a good time. Yeah, that's what I got for You Make Me.
Hey there, this is Tyler from 97.2 The Max. And as you know, we like to help out our local community by bringing in somebody who might need a little extra help. I brought in Joffrey today. Joffrey, what's going on?
Thanks. I lost my reward.
You lost your... What was your reward?
It's a sack with a dollar sign on it.
What was inside of the sack?
Money.
You lost money.
Yeah, so I just wanted to have a lost reward call to action for your listeners. If anybody saw my lost reward out there, they should, you know, hopefully contact you. You can contact me. I put up flyers, but haven't gotten a bite yet.
What can they expect, you know, in the event that
they... If you see
the
reward, don't yell at it, don't whistle, don't make any sudden moves, just call the number on the flyers or that you'll hear at the end of this, and I'll come and get it.
Should somebody find it and return it to you, do they earn anything in return?
I'll give them a puppy.
Please call in at 923-875-8757. should you hear anything.
And just before I forget, I had a brief like squirrel moment where I was like, I believe when I showed my strong guy action figure, I said he's part of the X-Force. That's wrong. Your fans are gonna be so mad. So many of them off the past.
He's not.
He was part of X-Factor.
Oh, you're right.
Which nobody likes. He's just cool. X-Factor's I'm not a fan of the group.
X-Factor. Who else was on X-Factor?
Simon Cowell.
Pretty yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. there was that like Native American guy, right? What was his name?
Thunderbird.
Thunder. Let's see.
Or Warpath.
Warpath's who I'm thinking of. Is that right? The original team was Angel, Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Iceman. Don't care. Get to the good part. Where is Havoc? Wait. Multiple Man, Strong Guy. Okay, Wolfsbane's who I'm thinking of. Wolfsbane's Strong Guy, Quicksilver, Polaris, Multiple Man, Havoc, and Valerie Cooper, who's just like their handler. Or something.
I don't want a cool name. I'm Valerie.
Oh yeah, Wild Child was there for a bit. It's a bunch of like, you know, C-list people. Like, is that character named Gold Balls? I've never heard of Gold Balls.
What's Gold Balls' power?
Yeah, run us through Gold Balls.
He produces a limitless amount of unviable biological eggs.
Uh-huh. That's about as useless as like the polka dot guy from Suicide Squad.
They made him cool in the movie, but in general, like, yeah, in comic book polka dot guy. Yeah, what do you do with the eggs? You can eat them?
Gold balls.
It's so weird that they specified.
You know what? You'd think that the character would be involved in their own superhero name? Or do you think this was one that was sort of like assigned to him and he had to begrudgingly use it as his public persona?
I now like him. Like, the name's so dumb. If they make a Gold Balls action figure, I will buy it. I don't think they will make one.
Someone would have made that, right? We have 3D printers out there in the world now.
Gold Balls. That's true. That's a good point. 3D printers.
One thing I really enjoyed with the movie X-Men First Class is the scene where they just decide to give themselves cool nicknames, like all the young mutants. Because, I mean, they're kids. Of course they're going to do that. And then they tell Charles Xavier and Eric Lencher that it's like, you're Professor X and you're Magneto, and they're just like, you kids are so stupid, I'm out of here. And then of course by the end Eric Lencher is like, call me Magneto, and it just becomes this like, these are our real names. But it just started off as just like, hey, we're kids and we're partying and we're being stupid.
What self-serious guy would name himself Magneto? And the answer is a kid told him and it stuck in his brain.
Young Mystique. Excuse me, Young Raven.
Mm-hmm.
She was not Mystique yet.
Jonathan, I don't know how far you've made it into our shows before, but we're now on the third leg, which is where you take us wherever you want.
Oh, my.
So if you want to talk about more about X-Men,
yeah,
we're already possible.
Wherever X-Men podcast. I did do some prep for this episode, but it's kind of all the stuff we covered, like Oingo Boingo stuff. I went over the lyrics. Wherever I want. I've not gotten this far, clearly. It's I want it to be relevant. Let's see, there's a clown thing for Oingo Boingo, that's a spaceman thing.
Well, you could do clown stuff.
We could talk clown stuff. You could talk performance stuff, like live performance stuff, I guess.
So you yourself are involved in the clowning world in some capacity, is this true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's use
I've
that.
Not received money to clown, but
you've never
working on it. It's the goal.
One day.
You've never received money, but you are, in fact, down to clown?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Always. It is interesting. I try, since having, like, gotten into, like, clowning type stuff, I do try to approach life in a more clowny way, like just give off the energy that like I'm, you know, willing to play kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Which
it works. You do.
Good, excellent. But like I have to be mindful about when that's not the right energy to have, right? Like like if something like bad happens to me, clowning has kind of helped me be like, oh, ooh, like, no gifts, no mistakes, only gifts, you know, like, that kind of thing. Like, what's this going to do? And that is not always the right energy to give off in, like, a professional workplace. Sure. People want to see you suffer and feel bad sometimes and not be like, this is great, what's next? Sometimes it is what they want, but not always. Yeah. In terms of clown stuff, I feel like most of like the clown performing I've actually done, it's equal parts, if not more, mime than clown. Like, I kind of do like mime clown, where like I don't have props, I'm doing mime work. But it's clown in the sense that the premise is like I'm miming being, like in this example, Indiana Jones, but the clown part is like, yeah, do it badly. Like, how would Indiana Jones be a bad Indiana Jones or a silly Indiana Jones? And that's kind of the way there. I'm working on like a pilot piece now, or like a bad airplane pilot. That one uses props. I don't know. It's there's weird stuff going on. I just saw a clown show this past weekend. It was 2 one-person shows back to back. That was the most talky clown show I've ever seen. Because most clown shows have a lot of, like, silence and just, like, weird stuff going on. Like, a lot of connecting with the audience. And this was kind of, like, 2 monologues. The first one was very good. It was about the performer had fibromyalgia. And so they were talking about kind of living in constant pain. And the whole premise was, like, would it be better if I had an exoskeleton? And they kind of just explored that for the whole hour, which was a very interesting take. I'd never, not something I'd really put any time thinking about. So it's cool to be with. The second show was, the premise was the performer was, at some point in like this fictional past, a disease that they're like, it's not COVID, but it might be. But anyway, some disease killed all adults in one fell swoop. And when that happened, he was at Disney World, Florida. And so he basically became the new Mickey Mouse, like the Lord of the Children of Disneyland. And so he kind of walks the audience through like how they, as children, try to continue Disneyland running. And so most of the show is him like giving like props out to people and having you kind of like recreate, like he gave like fake birds on the stick and do like a tiki room kind of thing, or like it was very weird. It wasn't as fun as the first one, but that might also just have been suffering from being the second hour long show after another hour long
sure,
show.
That's a lot.
I also got like mild child labor vibes off of that premise.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of it was very dark humory type stuff, because also he couldn't use the word Disneyland. Obviously, he was talking about sure. The Happy Place, and I was the Rat King of the Happy Place, and he was just doing all these weird like post apocalypse.
Could have said
bits.
Steamboat Willie. That's the Mickey Mouse he could have used. That's public
good
domain.
Maybe it's a good rabbit hole to get down, because I think I talked about, at least with Andy, that's just before, because as these movies like these IPs, Winnie the Pooh, Steamboat Willie, as these hit, public, you know, availability, they're always getting these horror adaptations. Yeah. And those are good, those should exist, but kind of like the genre thing I was talking about earlier, I want to see more genres of this. Like, I'd love to see just like, you know, like a gritty, like Chinatown, but like with Steamboat Willie kind of. Like, oh, I gotta go get the fish or the town's gonna starve. You know, just like pathos, and like it's not funny, it's just played straight, but it has, or like, you know, like Winnie the Pooh is in like a Western again. Like, I don't know. I wanna see more genres. Like, horror is great, but do more genres with these IPs. You can do whatever you want. Don't limit yourself just to horror.
I think they do horror just because like it's the cheapest genre that you can do, and like anybody
that is fine.
Can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so easy.
The bar is a little low. I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that you can make a successful horror movie pretty relatively, yeah, easily.
Most of the best are like made for a shoestring budget. So
yeah, it'd be harder to make like a really good action or a kung fu film or something without skill, danger, money. But they should try. They should try. Like, just put some assets into Unreal and let some fans do a thing. I don't know.
Ooh, bringing it full circle.
Is that a circle?
Yeah, it's holding 3 fingers and then meshing them together. What type of horror movie in that vein, or like just movie in what kind of genre mashup would Danny Elfman score?
Oh, I mean, he could definitely do a horror, because I feel like there's a movie that exists that seems like he should have done the music. He should have done the soundtrack for Killer Clowns from Outer Space, right? Like, oh, that's like his movie. It might as well be. Although the theme for that song, so good. Like, I love that music. I'll listen to it on its own sometimes.
Is that movie is that Killer Clowns Come from Outer Space?
Yeah.
I love that because the title explains the concept in less than, talk about 20 minutes. That's like 5 seconds.
The title and the back synopsis are just the same text. You can't tell which is the front or the back.
Okay, so there are exceptions to my dumb rule. The title is just that clear. Has Danny Elfman ever done like a straight up horror movie? Not that I could think. I mean, like so many Tim Burton
than the soundtrack for
have horror elements.
That's a good point. I didn't IMDb Danny Elfman.
Beetlejuice, but
yeah, those aren't like horror, right?
Yeah,
right. They're gothic, but they're not terrifying.
They're not scary. They're not meant to elicit fear from its audience.
I didn't know he did Men in Black.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, he did Good Will Hunting too.
What?
Yeah. A lot of choir going on there.
He did something called The Force Awakens from its nap. It's a Simpsons thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he did that.
Didn't he do the jingle for The Simpsons?
He did the jingle for The Simpsons. That's probably why he's credited for that, because Alf Clausen does all the music for The Simpsons now.
He did 50 Shades of Grey.
Ugh.
That's terrifying.
That's awful. Gig's a
gig. I don't know.
Speaking of movies... both Andy and I have started our Letterboxd accounts, and Andy uses it in a way that is serious and logs the movies that he watches in his own personal life. And as an interesting rule, Andy, you refuse to give any movies 5 stars.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain yourself?
I respect that.
I think I get that from Roger Ebert. He never gave movies 5 stars. He maxed out at 4. And I respect Roger Ebert, so I just want to do it his way.
Gotcha.
And also because, like, in terms of, like, letter grades, that's how it works in my head, because, like, 4 equals A, 3 equals B, 2 equals C. If you get to 5, then you have to do a whole bunch of other math that I don't want to do.
Like A plus.
Yeah. I guess you could just say that.
It's real quick. He did do a real horror movie. I found it. It's called Psycho. It stars Vince Vaughn.
Oh, the remake.
Yes. Also, Viggo Mortensen, Flea, William H. Macy, Julianne Moore.
Anne Heche.
Flea
is in it as Bob Summerfield.
No idea who that is.
And that's like a shot-for-shot remake, right? So
that's Gus Van Sant.
Like, I wonder if the score is like note-for-note remake.
I feel like it would have to be. It's just whoever did the score
for it wasn't, right?
The original Psycho. It's just... Do the same thing. You're gonna have the ring no matter what. So that's not an Elfman original.
He did Darkman 2 and 3. I don't think he did Darkman 1. And then the last one, and as maybe a candidate, is he did. I would argue that Mars Attacks is a horror movie. I don't like it. I don't care for that movie.
You don't like Mars Attacks?
I find it too kind of like there's a lot of like body horror stuff to it.
Oh,
not like,
sure.
not really body horror, but like just there's enough from like. It's people getting stomped, shrunk and stomped, and like just like, you know, people getting their like bodies like disintegrated. I don't know. Yeah, it's almost like too violent in a weird way for me.
And the whole Pierce Brosnan and Sarah Jessica Parker stuff, where like her head is put on a chihuahua's body.
I don't care for her body. Yeah, I do like the yodeling. That's about it.
Killed by yodeling.
I should rewatch it. I haven't watched it since I was a kid, probably.
Oh, sure. It is weird to watch as a child. I'm sure it's like baffling. It's a baffling movie, and that's why I like it. Mm-hmm. I've started a Letterboxd for this show.
Yes, I want to hear more about this. Okay.
So you can follow both Andy and I's accounts, but
dumb question. I don't know what Letterboxd actually is. Is it like Goodreads, but for movies?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly it.
And, Andy does thoughtful reviews,
very few so
and,
far, but yeah.
But you like also go to like film festival things and like watch shorts and like all kinds of stuff. And you try to catch up on the Oscars before the Oscars happen. I do not. My account is, I think, called Weird Pals, and it's just all the movies that I've chosen to watch that are based off of anything that's in these episodes. The most recent one that I put in was for Moonwalker, and my rule is the opposite of Andy's. I give all of the films 5 stars.
There's balance to the force.
That's right. So that's maybe good. If I also get the gumption and I watch, what's this film called? Forbidden Zone? It'll go into the Letterboxd.
I do intend to actually watch Forbidden Zone. I probably won't watch Back to School. I don't know that I'll watch Moonwalker.
You can skip that one.
I did see, what's the Prince film? I did watch that one.
Purple Rain?
The one, is that the one where he's like almost like a, not a pimp, but like a gigolo in like Italy or something? He's like this weird little he's like Prince in Italy. It's kind of like the whole plot.
I don't know. The only thing I know about Purple Rain is that he's on the cover and he's wearing purple and he's got a motorcycle that is also purple.
I don't think it's Purple Rain. Is it Under the Cherry Moon?
That sounds familiar.
Tim, that is a movie that he's in. That's what I'm thinking of, though.
Tim, why did you watch Being the Ricardos for... Oh, for Ricky.
For Ricky. Yes.
Ricky. It's a good reason to watch a thing.
The Country Bears. Oh, my God.
Country Bears.
Yeah, could you rattle off all the films that I've just chosen to watch and waste my time with?
Like, I mean, some of them, I mean, make sense. Like, The Greatest Night of Pop. We talked about that in the Fat episode. Weird, The Al Yankovic Story, Elvis, Being the Ricardos, Bohemian Rhapsody, Mr. Dynamite, The Rise of James Brown, Bob Marley, Freedom Road, Hair High.
Oh,
yeah. Is that a Bill Plimpton? That's a Bill Plimpton. Your review is, Tim bought the DVD and the graphic novel version after botching his interview with Bill Plimpton. The Country Bears, George of the Jungle, of course, Brady Bunch movie.
Wait, what's the link with George of the Jungle?
He did. Weird Al has a cover of the theme song that is just a straight up cover. There's no jokiness to it. So for that episode, we, the two of us, Justine and Chris, just watched the movie and did like
the Brendan Fraser one.
Yeah. And watched it, did a live commentary on it that, according to one reviewer who is also Justine, unlistenable.
Oh no! I should listen to it. I don't think I've heard the Weird Al version.
It was fun to do.
No, the song's fine. It's like
oh,
a whole
she
minute
meant
long.
Your
the commentary.
Oh,
yeah, the song. It's a great cover. It's straightforward.
I
everything.
See.
It's fine. Brady Bunch movie Rockula. What'd you watch Rockula for?
Oh, that was for
Thomas Dolby.
Yeah, Thomas Dolby.
Slime Creatures. Yeah. UHF, of course. Moonwalker. Transformers the movie. Yes. Ruthless People. Rocky IV. The Complete Al, Johnny Dangerously, Break In 2, Stop Making Sense, Human Highway.
That was the Devo, one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Empire Strikes Back for Yoda, Rock and Roll High School, Rocky Horror Picture
Show. Do you
show.
Do one movie per episode, or do you sometimes do
just whenever
zero to more?
Got it. Whenever I've got the time and there's a clear path to go watch something.
That makes sense.
The Egg.
That's the Madonna short.
Yeah, yeah. and there's one here that doesn't have a review, doesn't have a rating.
Uh-oh.
Alice's Restaurant.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. It might be on my pending
to-watch
list, maybe.
Gotcha.
I like... Maybe you'll make a Letterboxd account. I like the idea of tracking what I watch more. I don't like reviewing things. Like, putting like thoughts down on paper. Like, I'm committing to my opinion on this. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other about most things.
Yeah. I used to write reviews like regularly, like when in the MySpace days, I would post them publicly for everybody to read, and then I stopped. And then when I got Tumblr, I used that as an excuse to write reviews.
It's a good place for it.
But you know, then it just became a hassle to like I gotta write like a page and a half for every single movie. So the last one I wrote was for Independence Day Resurgence. So that kind of killed.
How was that? I didn't see it.
Oh. One of the worst films I've ever seen.
Oh, it's that tracks.
Completely unnecessary sequel, of course, but also just nobody's into it. Nobody. It's so phoned in, and it's awful. Even if Will Smith was in it, it would not have been good. The last line of the movie, spoiler alert, is "Let's go kick some alien ass." Credits.
We don't get to see them kick the ass.
No, they're setting up another movie, and it's never going to happen.
The hubris.
No, it's literally like, hey, we found a signal. Like we know where their planet is, and one of the like hero pilots goes, "What are we waiting for? Let's go to war and kill aliens." Meanwhile, his girlfriend's dad, who was the former president, Bill Pullman, just sacrificed himself, and she's totally fine. She's not mourning or anything. So many people have been killed, and they're just like, "Hey, let's keep killing things!" Yeah,
yep. A rollicking adventure. Because Jeff Goldblum's still in it, right?
Yeah, and
he's
bored as frick.
Yeah, great.
I'm trying not to swear. I don't want to get haunted.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm in a rut right now on movies. Anyway, yes.
You're in a rut?
As a rut. Like, I feel like...
Have you seen Dix the Musical?
It's on my list.
It just made it to HBO.
Oh, it's on HBO?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Once it's streaming, then
if it has the option, I would do, like, the sing-along version. But if it doesn't have the option, I would definitely have captions on at least for the songs.
I only watch things with captions.
There's lots of good stuff in the songs that get messed up because the mix is kind of goofy.
I think I'm below averagely, like, I'm particularly bad at hearing lyrics in songs. Like, even just watching the Oingo Boingo stuff, I'm like, I think that's why I don't like it. It limits my enjoyment of it. So my inability to know what the lyrics are sometimes.
Justine and I were just driving from somewhere, and we have a game where we just have a set, a playlist going on, and it's just hotspot. So whatever the next song makes me think of, we put it on, and whatever that makes her think of, we put it on. And it's like almost 1,000 songs long now.
Wow.
Because we've been doing it for over a year. And we've gotten to one of my band's songs she put on the playlist. And then she was also like, what are the words for this part? And then I was like saying them out loud. She's like, oh, I was like, I assumed it was this other phrase. And so like, even when someone is like intentionally listening for lyrics, like it's all like because of the mixing and like being understood isn't super like necessarily the highest priority of a vocalist.
Sure.
More than just being heard. So it was interesting to like walk through like songs and be like, oh, that's interesting. And then put that together. And like, it was very funny to be on the other end of it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Gentlemen, we've got to do one last thing in this episode.
That's Jonathan. A successful third leg.
Yeah.
Various topics.
You nailed it. It was great. A real grab bag.
Yeah.
I don't like commitment.
Yeah. Jonathan, it's hard to, you know, you aren't inclined to leave written reviews of things because it's hard to make assessments on art and then have those assessments carry you through history, and now you're tagged with these opinions from the past. Wouldn't it be nice if you took all that responsibility off your shoulders and put it on getsongbpm.com, a website that does the adjudication for you.
Okay.
What we're going to be doing here is comparing Oingo Boingo's original song to Weird Al's pastiche of a song, and the website is going to give us some numbers. There's going to be 5 rounds. Whichever song has the highest number per round will win that round, and so a song needs to win 3 out of the 5 to be determined as the better song.
Okay.
Would you like to represent Oingo Boingo, or would you like to represent Weird Al?
Ooh. I can't... I mean, this is... I'm gonna commit real big right now. I can't imagine Weird Al loses this. That sounds crazy to me, that Weird Al would lose to Oingo Boingo. I also don't care about winning, but I'll represent Weird Al.
Excellent. Good. I have decided to go with... Private Life, given the fact that it's also repetitive, like You Make Me, in terms of the hook.
This is my private life. I've got no friends to fear. I've got no problems, no cross to bear. If you can find me,
acousticness, liveness, energy, danceability, tempo. I mean, tempo's
standard.
Objective. Fairly objective. The other ones, I don't know how to measure.
Andy, what is the tempo of Private Life by Oingo Boingo?
Private Life comes in at 147 beats per minute.
Jonathan, what about You Make Me by Weird Al?
A towering 191 beats per minute.
Wow. Whoa!
So many beats.
So many beats.
So few minutes.
Well, so it's 3 minutes long, right? So that's, what is that?
Oh, don't do math.
400 and...
520? 470?
Beats?
Yeah.
Ish? That's impressive. It's a lot of beats. Andy. Andy, yeah. What's the danceability of your song?
Danceability for Oingo Boingo's Private Life is smack dab in the middle, 50 footprints, 50 dress shoes.
50 of them. What about You Make Me there, Jonathan?
Pretty similar, just barely surpassing it with 57. I'm not sure what... Danceability. Sometimes I want to dance like like to like rave stuff. I want like techno like blade music. Sometimes I want to do a waltz. I'm not sure how you measure dancing really.
You're saying blade that it's shocking to you that that some algorithm came up with a numerical
a
result
single number
for this.
Yeah.
To something completely subjective. Yeah.
Yeah. Next one we've got.
Energy.
Dear God.
Energy.
We've got energy next. Andy, what's the energy of Oingo Boingo song Private Life?
78 flames.
Oh, man.
Or weird pseudo C. pinchy gestures. Yeah.
Like a Grinch hand.
Oh, it is a Grinch. Or any Dr. Seuss character, really.
Yes.
They have weird feathery
those
fingers.
Weird. Oh, I don't like
Muppet
them.
Fingers.
I like Muppets.
but not Muppet fingers.
Yeah.
Always bothered me that the Swedish Chef has human hands.
Is Danny Elfman in any Muppet movies? I feel like he's kind of in that same vibe. He's got like a Muppet Show kind of energy to him. Yeah, I don't think so either. But You Make Me has 66 energy.
Oh, that's a loss there for Weird Al. So it's currently 2-1.
Won't be a blowout.
In Weird Al's favor so far. Andy, what about acousticness?
I have a sneaking suspicion that this is where Al takes it, because Private Life has an acousticness of 3 ukuleles.
Wow. But now?
There's so much percussive. Is percussive acoustic? I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, it's not that much better. We got 5 here in Weird Al Land.
Still a win.
Wow.
Still a win.
That's a win for the game, but we're going to play the last round for fun. Jonathan, what's the last one called?
Liveness. And we have 8 heartbeats, I guess, to show you're alive.
Yeah.
Beep.
Out of 100? That seems dire. Andy?
Not great. Once again, not too much better, but it takes it with 11 hearts.
11. So it's a 3-2 Weird Al win.
Woohoo!
Closer than I would have thought.
Jonathan, thank you so much for using a good chunk of your afternoon to hang out with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's President's Day. It's patriotic duty to contribute to the arts on the day like today.
That's right.
Did I just give away the recording date? Should I not be giving away the lag time between them? Great.
Jonathan, speaking of things that are happening in the future, like us releasing this episode, are there any creative endeavors that you're doing in the future that you'd like to use as a little pluggy plug for yourself?
I mean, if you're local to the San Francisco Bay Area, I do improv at Endgames Improv. I do improv at All Out Comedy in Oakland. Coming up in March, we're working on a clown show right now that's a parody of 1950s era sci-fi. We'll do like a one weekend show, like March 20th, whatever that weekend is, that Friday, Saturday. For the internet, you can follow me at youtube.com/c/fohamner. I publish very infrequently, but I am working on sketch comedy for that. So stuff goes up maybe 2 or 3 times a year.
Excellent. Good. And that means it's great, because it takes a long time to...
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Work on greatness.
It's very deliberate and careful, and not just slapped up in a rush at the end. It's done.
Spitting out content for content's sake. Spitting out content for art.
It's very bespoke content. Yes. It's not a content mill here.
Yeah, not like this podcast keeps on churning out episodes for each song or whatever, regardless if they have something to say or not.
I should just immediately, like, tomorrow have, like, 100 episodes, like, one per action figure.
Yeah.
You should do...
And it's literally just action figure up to the camera. Done!
They're like 3 seconds. Yeah. Like, did you guys see that... sorry, we're trying to wrap up the episode. Did you just see that, like, a Korean, like, streamer advertiser, and she would do, like, 100 commercials in, like, 3 minutes, just, like, tissues, breath, toothpaste, just 3 seconds per good. She made, like, $18 million. I think that the numbers have been refuted, but that was the clickbait title. It's like, streamer makes $18 million in 3 minutes.
I hope she did.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, hopefully the ads that are running for this season really help us accumulate that kind of cash. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. You've got some pretty good products. You guys really, you're very careful. You only endorse things that you stand behind. Of course, I think that speaks to the integrity.
What was funny is that we had like Google and we had Toyota and we had, you know, GE
corporations.
But then we told them that I was going to mention that Oingo Boingo did a song about a pedophile, and they all backed out.
Cowards.
It's like, we're not endorsing it.
We're not endorsing it. It just happened. And I'm reporting
happened,
that it happened.
And we are against it. And it's gross.
To not talk about it would be erasure.
That's right. A different 80s band. gentlemen, we have to get out of here. And we have to get out of here.
I am hungry.
We've got to. I've got to go celebrate presidents. And the work that they do. we got to get out of here using our show's famous catchphrase.
Gotta grab life by the lips and yank as hard as you can. I looked it up, and it is from UHF.
It is from UHF.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's helpful. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.